Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Today, my guest is Annette Wittenberger. Annette is actually a repeat guest on the show. She was on a few weeks ago talking about her experience in the military, and as with all of us, our time in the military is not where our story ends. Today, we're going to talk about some of the things that she's been working on since getting out of the military. And if you haven't listened to the previous episode, please give that one a listen. I'll link to that in the show notes. So Annette, welcome back to the show. For people who maybe haven't listened to the previous episode, could you give us a quick rundown of who you are and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I served in the Army for over 17 years. I retired as a major. I was a chemical officer. And so I started this new chapter in my life once I got out, because I started to feel, I got into deep depression, and I decided to get out of the funk and do something about it with the help of very good friends.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think that's kind of a story that a lot of people who get out of the military probably could resonate with, where they get out, they don't really have that same sense of purpose or direction that they had while they were in the military. And that is a big struggle for a lot of people. And it seems like you have sort of figured out a way to kind of work through some of that issue. And that's hopefully what we're going to talk about a little bit here today. And also some of the other things that you're doing to help out other people who might be struggling with the same type of thing, or even other issues that they might maybe going through. So in the last episode, we did touch on some of the things that you're doing. If anyone hasn't listened to that episode, please go back and listen to that. And that will help give a fuller picture of what we're talking about here. One of the things that you're working on is your blog called A Wild Ride Called Life. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was how you started writing as being a form of therapy or a therapeutic kind of thing for you. Could you talk a little bit about that? What was the decision that you made, or how did you come to that decision to start writing about your experiences and things that you're going through?
Yeah, sure. So in the beginning, it was just, I started on WordPress. I found it. I don't remember how I found it, but I decided to start writing, but it was more like a journal for me. But I felt like if I put it on paper, it would help me a little bit more, but I kept it a secret. And then I started talking to other soldiers, former soldiers of mine, that were telling me how they had felt, a sense of they lost their identity once they got out. And it was a real struggle for them. So I started to feel like, you know what, I'm not the only person that's going through this. Because in my mind, no one else understood. They're not going to understand how it is to get out before you were ready. All those feelings. So I decided I was going to start a website, and it took me about a year because I didn't know what I was doing. And then I found another veteran who built websites, and I was like, you know what, let's just do it. And we launched it, and it was scary because I didn't tell all my family, not all my friends even knew what I was feeling. So it was terrifying. But once I hit publish and it was out there, I was like, okay, this is who I am. And I could no longer let it take over me. I mean, it was consuming me as a person, as to feeling like a failure, because, I still had peers that were in, and I was like, well, why not me? So once I started to write, I felt like it was a relief. And I started having people reach out to me, and they started saying, you know, thanks for being so vulnerable. And I'm like, oh my God, someone's reading it. Okay. I'm making a difference. I guess I'll keep going. But you know, it didn't happen overnight. It's taken about 3 years to finally be in that place where I will say anything and everything, because that's who I am today. Mm-hmm. And you know, if someone's feeling depressed, I'm like, I totally understand, because that was me last year. Suicide attempt survivor. I've been in that dark place, and I feel that people need to hear it, and we don't talk about it enough. And so I think by sharing my story through that outlet, and now through all social media, Instagram, Twitter, all that, I'm not embarrassed anymore, because I wish I would have seen that kind of stuff years ago, to know that I wasn't the only one feeling that way. So that's why I'm so passionate about, I just put my story out there, and some people are like, how do you just say stuff like that? Why are you putting your business out there? Well, you know, I don't put like my family business. I put my business, because I know how it feels, and I don't want anyone else to struggle that way, because I didn't have that, you know? And yeah, so that's how that started. And that's why I'm still doing it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And so looking back at when you first started it, so you had the choice of, so you said you put the site on WordPress. So obviously it's a website. It's out there for the world to see. It's not password protected or behind a paywall or anything like that. It's out there. Anybody in the world can go and visit it. Yes. But you just as easily could have put down your thoughts in a private journal, in a notebook, or a diary or something along those lines. But you decided to put it out there for the whole world. What prompted you to share that writing publicly? Was it to be able to help other people? What kind of sparked that for you?
I think it was to let people know that it was okay. It's okay to feel this way. I mean, the Army was my life. I will always soldier for life, always, but I couldn't let it define me and take over. And I needed to tell people that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have your days. You're still a person. Mm-hmm. And I think I was talking to myself, but also talking to other people. So it's a self-healing journey. And I think the more people that I reached that reached out to me, the more I started to realize I had to keep going, because someone was reading it. And yep. I just didn't really think about that. I was just putting it out there, hoping someone's going to read it. Maybe I could save at least one life. And, but yes, the more people that reached out, the more I was like, I have to keep going. And even if they don't if they don't give you a like, or they don't comment, I had private messages. They just, cause they didn't want to be exposed, which is totally fine. But with the private messages is what really hit hard for me, because they were suffering, and they, for some reason, one of my posts helped them that day. And that's all I needed to keep going.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you brought up, is that, so let's just say somebody else is in your shoes and they decide, you know, hey, I want to start writing this stuff and I want to put it out there publicly because I want to help people. And then 6 months go by, year goes by or whatever, and they're not seeing the likes and the shares and the comments and all that stuff on there. I think it, especially around this topic, there may be some people who just don't, who are not in that place where they want their information to be public, or that they maybe resonate with a certain, topic or an issue or whatever. And so they may not like or comment or share the way you might expect that they would for something that you've just poured your heart into and everything. So if someone is out there who is doing this type of thing, don't necessarily get discouraged because of the lack of the feedback from that, because it's not 100% accurate that this isn't helping anyone because no one's liked it or commented or shared it or anything. All of that stuff is, it's really a vanity metric. If you think about it, it doesn't really matter. It really matters who read it, who got help from it, and who's now in that much better of a place because they read your stuff or listened to your stuff, or you know, somehow it changed them in some way, shape, or form. So,
and I think one thing I want to point out is this topic, obviously, it's very sensitive. So it's not like another typical Instagram post where it's the dress you wear or how you look that day. Yeah. This, you can't base it off of the likes. You really can't. You have to, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go through this journey, you have to be prepared that if you're expecting to be popular, it might not happen. You just have to know that you're doing it to help other people, and that's it. You're not doing it to be famous. You're not doing it to be popular or to be liked. People are reading it, and that's really what you have to focus on, is that you're helping somebody else, not anything else. So if you're doing it just to get exposure, to be, you know, to be popular, it's not going to happen. You have to, it's going to take time to reach, you know, as many people as you want, but you just got to focus on what your why is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't think this is not a popularity contest. It's not, and it's not a contest that anyone would really want to win anyways. If it is a popularity contest, it's really and truly just trying to be helpful, like you're saying. And, you know, I think that's pretty much the reason why I've started this podcast is, you know, I don't have sponsors right now. I don't have, you know, I'm not making any money. As a matter of fact, it costs me money to run the podcast.
Exactly.
You know, between the equipment and the hosting for the audio files and everything like that, I've lost money doing this. But it's money that I'm happy to spend, on this, trying to get the message out there to people who might need to hear it, to help them out. I know we hear stories all the time of people who were in a dark place and they just didn't know where to get help, or didn't trust the people who they thought were going to give them help, and they didn't know what to do, or you know, whatever, they just were trapped. They felt like they're trapped and they didn't really see another way out other than harming themselves, or, you know, getting involved with alcohol or drugs, or you name it. There's countless stories out there, you know, of all these things. And if we can help somebody with episodes like this, then, you know, I'm happy to spend a little bit of money to get that out there and help people, you know, with all that. So, switching gears a little bit. So the writing sort of acted as a form of therapy for you in terms of being able to get the message out there. And it turned into something that people were reaching out saying, hey, this is actually helping me. That really resonated with me. And, you know, thanks for sharing all of that stuff. And you've taken that and you've kind of moved into, you know, a few other projects that you have going on. First one that I kind of want to talk about is your podcast. So you have a podcast, and we were talking a little bit before we started recording about the podcast, and the stories that people tell and that they are trying to get out there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the podcast and what it's all about, and you know, who might be a good guest on the show, if anyone is listening and might want to be a guest on a podcast to share their story, maybe even for the first time.
Sure. Yeah. So I've been wanting to find another way to reach more people to help them. And one night it came to me and I was like, that's it. The truths we hide. And so that's what the podcast is called. And I think I really based it off of my own experiences, because I have a lot of things that I have not told people, and it wasn't until my adult years where I was like, you know what, maybe that's why I am who I am. It has a little bit to do with it. And so I figured, well, I know there's other people out there, and if there's anyone out there who's ready to talk about that in order to help other people so they can give advice as to how they overcame it, then that's who I would love to have on there. And so I've had a former soldier that I was deployed with, and he came on and he was like, this, I was messed up when I deployed, when I came back, and now I'm doing this, this, and this. And so that's what I think other men or other women need to hear, is that, you know, yes, you came back and it wasn't okay, but now I'm better because I'm doing this kind of work. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want. It's not just for veterans. I've had veterans, I've had military spouses, but I really, it's not just us. There's so many other people that are affected. So I want that kind of people or kind of guests on the show that are ready to talk about it. And so, I've opened it up, and I have a Facebook page. You could go on there and fill out the Google form. And right now I'm actually booked out until March, but which is exciting. But I welcome anybody, because I really want to help more people that are feeling this way. So.
Right. And so this is just for context. This is the day before Thanksgiving, in 2019, and you're already booked out through March. And so you already have quite a bit going on, in terms of the number of people that you're going to have interviewed on that podcast, which is amazing, by the way. Congratulations on that. But if anyone who is listening to this episode now is hearing this and it sounds like something that you might want to be a guest on, you want to share your story or whatever, I'll have a link in the show notes to the podcast and to the Google form where you can go and sign up to be a guest on the show. So you can look for that there. And hopefully extend out into the summer with the number of guests that you have on the show and beyond. Cause that definitely sounds like a great show. And and even if that's not a podcast that you feel like you would be a good guest on, it might be a good podcast for you to listen to. So definitely go over there and subscribe to that podcast as well. And listen to those episodes. So switching gears a little bit. These are the things that you've been kind of creating, publicly that you have been sharing publicly. Let's talk about the Veteran Story Project and what you're doing with that. That's still a little bit of a work in progress, if I'm not mistaken there.
Yeah. So I wanted to do something a few years ago and collect stories to eventually put it into a book. I have had people that have sent in things anonymously, which is absolutely okay, because they want to share their story to help other people. So if you don't want to use your name and you want to use a pen name, absolutely okay. We could set up a time to talk. We could figure out, what you want to share. And go from there. But yes, that's been a work in progress until I can get some more and then eventually get that published.
Oh yeah, awesome. And so what type of stories are being included in that?
It's anything from anything from that you experience while you're in the military.
Okay.
Really, yeah. So it's anything you want to share that you struggle with that you want to put out there and say, okay, this is it. I want to say something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there's probably some people who are listening to this podcast who may have a story or two to tell that might fit in there as well. So again, if that's you and you want to share a story, please feel free to reach out to Annette. To see if that story might be a good fit for this project that she's working on. You've also been doing some public speaking and mentorship as well. So what kind of people have you worked with? What organizations have you worked with? And how did you kind of fall into that type of work?
So I'm a talker. I love to help people. So I'm a mentor with Veterati, and I've had active duty, I've had veteran, and I have military spouses that they go and find me based off of, you know, what they're looking for. And we talk for about, you know, an hour, and just, it's just mentorship on either what to do after the Army, how to become a blogger, some entrepreneurship, just things like that. I like to help people find their passion, because I know that we each have something that we're passionate about. Sometimes we just need help finding it. And I love to do that. That's what I do with those calls. I also work with, it's called the Be Daring Foundation. It's a nonprofit based out of Arizona. The founder is actually an ASU alum like myself, so we're both Sun Devils. And we help educate college campuses about mental health and try to end that stigma. And we also are bridging the gap between law enforcement, first responders, and college students, so that they can understand that, you know, they can ask for help and how to deal with each other. And we also provide resources. And that's where I did my first speaking engagement in Arizona in August. And it was at a mental health summit, to where I shared my story and, you know, told them how I overcome the trauma and dealt with it, and that how I can, you know, live a normal life with PTSD, depression, and anxiety. So that's what I'm doing now. We've actually just got a partnership with the Phoenix Suns. There's going to be a 5K run walk in Arizona on February 8th. So we're trying to reach everybody and just help end the stigma.
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually hits close to home for me. I'm actually live in Arizona. I'm in the Phoenix area. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, all of this is going on right in my backyard, so to speak. And, that's awesome. So the Be Daring Foundation, so they're, you said that they're working with colleges and things like that to kind of help bridge that gap between the first responders and military and, who might be attending the college. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we're trying to keep them in college. We don't want them to leave because they're stressed out and they're going through depression. We're trying to keep them there. So we're providing resources to help them do that. So yes, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. So I know a lot of guys who have been in the military, and ladies, who have been in the military, they get out of the military, or they transition from active duty to the guard or reserves, and they are now going to college. They're using their, you know, GI Bill or, you know, whatever benefits that they have, and they're going to college, and they feel like the grandpa or grandmother, right? who's sitting in the back of the classroom or in the front of the class, wherever they are, and and they are in the classroom. They've got years of experience, you know, from the military or whatever, and they're sitting in the classroom with 18, 19, 20 year old kids who seem like babies to them, and the way they act sometimes, it's almost like two different worlds. You have this hardened military veteran who is on one level of thinking, and then you have these kids who are fresh out of high school sometimes, who are, you know, more immature, and they're not they don't really get life at that point, you know. They're still
life is still hard at 19, like it is.
Yeah, exactly. So, one of the things that has helped me, and I don't know if this will resonate with other people necessarily or not, but I figured I'd mention it, is you see this 18-year-old kid who maybe is complaining about, I don't know, maybe they're complaining about their Starbucks not getting the right order or whatever. And let's put it this way, a seemingly inconsequential thing to someone who has dealt with far greater, far more severe things that carry far more severe consequences. The way I look at it is that we as the military or the first responders or whatever the case may be, whatever your background is, we've done our job. Because they don't have to worry about planes falling out of the sky. They don't have to worry about, you know, buildings getting blown up or you know, all those things that were, you know, especially in the days after 9/11, were very real concerns for a lot of Americans and a lot of people around the world, quite frankly, they don't have to worry about those things anymore because they just, I mean, not that they don't have to worry about them. It's just that they don't worry about them because they haven't happened in, for some of these kids in their entire lifetime. They haven't really had to worry about that. And so they haven't grown up in a world where those were things that they had to worry about. Because people like the veterans and the first responders and all of that, they've done their job. So instead of maybe getting ticked off that, oh, this kid is complaining about a coffee and they don't even know what the real world is like and all this stuff. Instead, kind of reframe that mindset and say, hey, you know what? This kid, the worst that they have to worry about is the type of coffee that they got, or how, you know, if they got the right size or whatever. That's the worst thing they have to worry about. Hats off to us. We did a good job. We've kept the fight someplace else where other people now have to worry about it. And it's not our problem to really have to worry about. It's not the problem of the youth of this generation or whatever, that they have to worry about those things anymore. Exactly. And that was something that when I kind of came to that conclusion, it really helped me in rephrasing the narrative in my own head. And instead of looking at this as some ungrateful punk kid who doesn't know anything about the world, looking at it as, hey, you know what? Things could be worse, and that kid could have other things to worry about, but he doesn't. So, I don't know if that is helpful to anybody else, but it certainly helped me a little bit. But are there other programs or other things that you guys do with the first responders or with the institutions themselves to kind of help make that connection? What are some of those things that you guys do?
So we're in the process of creating online courses. We're going to be giving out self-care boxes. So we're creating all that right now. It's about 2 years old, the foundation. So we're just trying to get, I don't want to use more exposure. We're trying to get out there to show people that there are resources. We are a program that we want to help, because it's not within the veteran community. You know, it's not like we have that. This is for actual civilians. So we're just trying to put that out there to show them that, you know, there's something going on in the Phoenix area. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that is a lot of stuff that you have going on. you are definitely keeping busy. And I think that's an important thing too, especially for people who might be struggling with that readjustment after getting out of the military, is keeping busy and having a sense of purpose. And I think you talked a little bit about that earlier in terms of how your writing is helping other people. And that's kind of who you are now, is that person who's putting themselves out there and writing to all these people. And I think that's important for people to take in and find that sense, that thing that gives them that sense of purpose. The military is not there anymore. If you're out, you know, you don't have that anymore. To fall back on and say, oh, I'm a soldier, or I'm a Marine, or I'm an airman, or I'm a, whatever the case may be, you don't have that to fall back on anymore, as your sense of purpose. So now it's up to you as the veteran to find that sense of purpose, which sounds like is something that you've done, through all the things that we talked about today. And I'm sure there's other things brewing. If you're anything like me, you have other things brewing in the back of your head, that might be, coming up in the future, but, we won't talk about that now, because I don't want to spill the beans on anything that might not be a fully formed idea or whatever. So thank you again for sharing all of this. I think it really helps, really could help other people with where they're at. Where can people go to find out more about some of these things that you're doing?
So the podcast, you can go to Facebook under The Truths We Hide. And then again, there's the Google form there you can fill out if you're interested. You can also go to my website at wildridecalllife.com. And you can also email me at awildridecalledlife@gmail.com.
Okay, wonderful. And I'll have links to all of that in the show notes, as well as some of the links to the other episodes that, we talked about, to your previous episode and other things like that in the show notes. So thank you again for sharing and joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com, or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.